Usually, when something is popular, it usually isn't right when it comes to religion. And there's a lot of popular teaching today that floods the airwaves and floods the televisions and the bookstores and the internet and a lot of popular preachers. But when you really dig into the truth of what they preach, you find that many, many times that they're not preaching the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes it's what they say. That's easy to spot usually. When somebody speaks a lie, you can spot it. But sometimes it's what they don't say that is the problem. That they never, ever, ever contradict anything else. They just kind of like, well, let's just all get together and get along. Well, that's never happened. It didn't happen in the days of Jesus Christ. It didn't happen in the days of the apostles. In fact, it's never happened in history when you preach the truth. And we'll even see some of that tonight from the Word of God. And that's the thought that we're up to tonight in John chapter 14 when Jesus said, I am the truth. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about the life. And a life worth living. Some wonderful things about life. But begin reading here in verse number 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Tonight I want to speak about knowing the truth. How can you tell what the truth is? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you would help us tonight. Lord, a very simple truth tonight. Nothing elaborate or fancy, God. Just an amazing principle that, God, we need to apply to our life all the time. For, Lord, if we do not have the truth, we have nothing. And, God, I pray you would teach us tonight. You would instruct us. But, God, not just give us knowledge in our minds, but God, spur our hearts. And Lord, as we see from the Scriptures, it's not what we know, it's what we do that matters. And Lord, help us to be a people that don't only know the truth, but we do the truth. And God, help me to speak the words that you'd want tonight, nothing more, nothing less. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like for you to look at another passage of Scripture in the book of John also. It's just an interesting verse in John chapter number 18. Of course, when you go into this chapter of the Bible, you are coming to the time when Christ has been brought before Pilate and they are having a conversation. Of course, Jesus has been falsely accused and they're trying to work up all these things against Christ. And one of the statements was that they wanted to say that Jesus said that he was the King of the Jews. And in verse number 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And I love that verse in the Bible. That's a good verse for you and I today. This is not our home. This is not our world. Amen. This is not the kingdom. The kingdom is to come someday. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And I say tonight that if somebody isn't interested in the truth, you can talk to them until you die, and it won't matter. I'm just telling you, when somebody is not, when somebody's interested in the truth, you can reason with them from the Scriptures. Many times people say, I want to know the truth. And so you begin to show them the truth and they say, nope, don't want to know that. Because they're not interested in the truth. They're just interested in what they want to hear, you know. But if somebody really wants to know the truth, did you know they're going to find it? God's not going to leave them in the darkness. But in verse number 38, after Jesus made this statement about everyone is of the truth, heareth my voice. In verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Would you not agree with me today that we live in a world today that is much like that? That really many people today, what is truth? I mean, after all, you say you have the truth, and these people say they have the truth, and these people say they have the truth, and those people say they have the truth, and some people say there is no truth, you know? That truth is just relative to the situation that you're in. I mean, after all, what is the truth? And you and I tonight need to understand what is the truth. Look, if you would, back in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs in chapter number 23. The book of Proverbs and chapter 23. It's one of these verses that's easy to remember because it's repetitive in the reference. Proverbs 23:23. I just like how sometimes that is. But Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." I find that interesting. Buy it. Purchase it. Do whatever is necessary to get to the truth. And once you get the truth, don't sell it. Keep it. And he adds a few more things to it there in verse 23. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And let me say something tonight. The truth is always going to revolve around those three things. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Let me explain what I mean by that. Is that you can take something for face value and just believe it. All right. For instance, you could just say that 1 + 1 = 2. Is that a truth? That's a truth, is it not? Okay. But why is it a truth? What makes it a truth? How do you know that 1 + 1 isn't 3? I mean, after all, why can't somebody just all of a sudden get smarter and more intelligent and, you know, more wealth than anybody else and change it and say 1 + 1 now = 3? I mean, why not? I mean, what makes it that way? Have you ever thought about that? How come we have this system of mathematics that 1 + 1 = 2? It's a fundamental truth, all right? But you get some wisdom and you begin to understand why 1 + 1 = 2, right? Well, we can see it, right? But how come it's 2? Well, I always tell people because God said so. Because in the beginning there was one day and the second day, 2, amen? But the more you understand the principles of 1 + 1 = 2, if you don't get it, as you advance into math later on, you start to scratch your head, don't you? Because later on in math, they start to throw these things in. They say A + B = C. Now, can you explain that one to me? Because that just changed everything, right? And they start working in. And so you get a fundamental truth and you get wisdom and understanding and you begin to grasp it and you begin to make it a part of your life and it helps you later on. And if you meet someone that never got foundational truth, they're always struggling with the next truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? They always have a hard time learning a new concept. It works that way in reading, does it not? If someone didn't get the foundational truths of reading and the phonics and why letters are what they are and the A's and why it says A and why it says A and why sometimes it doesn't say anything at all, you know? If they don't get that, then later on as the words go from cat to catastrophe, they start to struggle, don't they? Because they didn't get a foundational truth. They didn't get wisdom and understand. It didn't become a part of their life. And I find in Christianity today that there are many, many people that never, ever really settled on a foundational truth. And they struggle. They struggle with what the Bible teaches. You'll talk to people and you know, they'll believe this and believe this and believe this in the Bible. And all of a sudden you'll come to something in the Scriptures that is a little bit harder. And they say, well, I just don't believe that part of the Bible. Well, how can that be? How can you selectively just say, don't like that part, you know? But people do, don't they? They deny it and they say, well, I just don't believe that that is truth. And let me tell you why. Because they didn't get a foundational truth about something in their Christian life. They may not even be saved because they didn't get the foundational truth of Jesus Christ. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they don't understand the importance of the Word of God. Look back in the book of Psalms, chapter number 25. The importance of knowing the truth. Psalm chapter number 25. We'll look at the 5th verse here. Psalm chapter number 25. Looking, if you would, at verse number 5. The psalmist says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." What an important prayer. What an important prayer to say, God, lead me in the truth. I want to know the truth. And I'll tell you something, there's just something amazing in a person's life when they found the truth. When they know what God says and it becomes a part of them. Go back to the New Testament in John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Because I want to say tonight that you can know the truth. You really can. You can know the truth about everything that is relevant to your life. God doesn't keep the truth from you. God doesn't make it a dark mystery. But there's a principle we're going to see as we go on tonight, that if we don't follow the foundational truth, we won't get to the greater truth. Look in John chapter number 16. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth," that's talking about the Holy Ghost, "the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself." Now that's a good indication right there. All right. You get people today and they come to you and they say, "The Spirit of God told me this." And all they talk about is the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Be careful. Because the Bible says the Spirit of truth that guides you into truth does not speak of Himself. But rather, whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He's talking about the Spirit of God doesn't elevate Himself. He does what the Bible teaches to elevate Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He doesn't speak His own words. He speaks the Word of God. We must be very careful today that people say, "Well, the Spirit of God showed me something. He showed it to me in a dream. He showed it to me in a vision." Be very careful of that, because the Bible says Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. Well, if Satan can be like an angel of light, it's amazing how many people say, "Well, I saw this great light." And it's just like, because they saw a great light, they saw truth. Well, I don't know about you, but usually when I get hit with a great light, I can't see much of anything. It's confusing, is it not? When you're driving down the road and somebody puts their lights up bright in your face, you're not even sure where you're going. And boy, you can get really confused when you say and talk about the light, you know. "I saw the light." Well, make sure the light you saw was Jesus Christ, amen? Through His Word, not some deceptive vision that Satan sent along. He is the master deceiver. I want us to see a couple things tonight. First of all, is the attack on the truth. You're nearby. Look at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. You know, it'd be nice tonight if the truth was not under attack. But the truth is under attack. That's why it's hard to discern it. That's why it's difficult to know what is truthful, what is not. And John chapter number 8, look at me if you would, beginning in verse number 27. Now, this is a long portion of Scripture, but follow along as we highlight parts of it. In John chapter number 8, verse number 27, the Bible says, "They understood not that He spake to them of the Father." Jesus was teaching, and they were not getting it. So in verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself, but as My Father hath taught Me, I speak these things. And he that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for if I do always those things that please Him." Now look at verse number 30. "As He spake these words, many believed on Him." Now keep that in mind, all right? Jesus is talking and people are saying, "Wow, this is good," and they believe. All right? Just like we talked about last night, the broad way and the narrow way, all right? These people said they believed. Verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Well, Jesus made it very clear that you can say you believe, but listen to me, if a person says they believe but they do not continue in the word of God, then they did not believe. It's that simple. They just said they believed. They just said they liked what they heard. But a person that truly believes in Jesus Christ, there is a transformation in their life and they continue in what they believe. Because Jesus said in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth," and I like how He words this, "shall make you free." Now when you get saved, salvation is instantaneous. When you get saved, I mean, if you die 2 minutes or 2 years or 200 years later, you're going to heaven, amen? Because salvation is instant. But the Christian life is a process of growing. And boy, I tell you what, when you get saved, your sins are paid for, but there's a lot that God has to teach you to make you free from the things of this world. Because when you're a brand new baby Christian, you don't know how to walk, you don't know how to talk, you don't know how to run, you don't know anything hardly about God, and you've got a lot to learn about Him. And by studying and knowing the truth, you find freedom, true freedom. Now, Jesus goes on in verse 33, these people that Jesus is talking about, they said, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Let me put that in what I hear a lot of today. You talk to somebody and they say, "I've always been a Christian." That's what people say. You meet people and you say, "When did you become a Christian?" They say, I've always been a Christian, you know. I was never a lost person. Oh, I did some bad things perhaps, but I've always been a Christian. That's what these people were saying. We are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. How dare you say that we need to be free? A lot of people like that today. You talk about being born again, and they don't understand being born again, and they get offended when they say you must repent and turn to Jesus Christ. There must be a time, an event. Now, you may not remember the day because you didn't scratch it down, but you never forget the event when Jesus Christ saved your life and your soul. You weren't always a Christian. Well, Jesus goes on and he talks to these men very plainly in verses 34 down to verse number 38. I'm not going to read all of it. But in verse number 39, "Then answered and said unto them, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth." Now just put your finger there and draw yourself a line back up to verse number 30. Who's he talking to? Those people that said they believed. Those people that said, "We like what you're saying, Jesus." But now when he talks to them the truth, they say, "We don't like the truth." And they want to seek to kill him. He said in verse 41, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Do you hear that today? We hear that all the time, don't we? One Father, one God. We all have one God. We all have one God. Listen to what Jesus said about that in verse 42. "Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" Wait a second. If somebody doesn't want to know the truth, you cannot teach them the truth. Did you hear me tonight? You can try all of your life, but if they don't want the truth, they're not going to hear it. And these people were set in their minds. They already had it figured out. They didn't care what Jesus said. They liked his good teaching about, you know, life and kingdoms and things like that. But when Jesus came to their real heart, they said, "We don't like that truth." They wanted to pick and choose. And so Jesus said, "Let me tell you who you are." He said, "You're of your father." Who's your father? Look what he said in verse 44. "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, I want to tell you something. You know, people talk about Jesus and love, and I know that Jesus did a lot of good things. But, you know, I haven't seen too many preachers walk into church and say, "You're of your father, the devil." Mm-hmm. Good night. The crowd would leave right then and there. Amen. Yeah, people always say, "Oh, Jesus, love." He was truthful is what he was. He spoke the truth and he said, "Ye are of your father the devil." Now I have to be careful doing that because I don't know the heart of mankind. But God does. You see, Jesus knew their hearts. You see, tonight I don't know the hearts of the people in this room. I can't see your heart. I don't know if in your heart you are a true believer in Christ or not. But the Spirit of God does. Now I've watched people when you're preaching the truth. Now, I'm hoping they just have heartburn, amen? But I have a feeling it's a different type of heartburn. I have a feeling that they don't like the truth. Now, if they're just mad because I shout, then, you know, I'm sorry. I'll try not to next time. But usually it's the truth, is it not? Man, I've seen people get up and storm out of churches. I mean, I've seen them. "Never coming back to this place again. Bam!" Why are you so angry for? "Well, because that's a bunch of heresy." Okay, that's fine. If what's being preached is heresy, then please let's sit down and let's take a Bible and let's find out the truth. But there's nothing to scream and fight about, is it? And you say, "Let's just sit down and talk." "Nope, don't want to do it." Well, what are you afraid of? The truth? I'm afraid that's what it is. You see, when you have the truth, you don't have to be afraid of anything else. But boy, people get angry. And these people, as Jesus said, you have your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Wow. Well, if you keep reading this chapter, you see what it says in verse number 58. Jesus said unto them, and by the way, the rest of this chapter, Jesus tells them that he is God. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now you understand that. Remember back in the days of Moses, when Moses said to God, who do I say sent me? And God said, I am. Nobody would use those words like that and say, I am. But Jesus did, because he was. And the Bible says that when he spoke that in verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. They wanted to kill him. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think those people believed on him? Absolutely not. They had a mental belief about some things that he said, but they never accepted that Jesus was the truth. Because when you accept that Jesus is the truth, you take it all from Genesis to Revelation. You don't pick and choose the parts that... Now, you study it and you use wisdom and understanding and application, and you say, where does this fit my life? Why do we do what we do today? Because there's many things in the Bible that we look at and we try to figure out which of the Old Testament laws applied to the nation of Israel and which of those laws would be for us today. That's why we have to study the Word of God, is it not? Somebody said to me, well, I don't believe any of those laws in the Old Testament apply today. Okay, then what about thou shalt not steal and kill and covet and commit adultery, things like that? Well, besides those. And you've got to study. You've got to study the Word of God. You've got to seek for the what? For the truth. You've got to find out and see what is for you. Now listen to me, listen to me. God's truth is the same. It never changes. But did you know tonight that you don't teach somebody in kindergarten, you don't teach them algebra, calculus, and geometry, do you? You just teach them what? Foundational truth. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes in the preaching of the Word of God, God is maybe giving, you know, the preacher is reading verses that are maybe just a little bit, you know, more advanced in the Christian life. And maybe you're young in your Christian life and you haven't been saved very long. Don't get angry, amen. Just say, that's for the upper class, amen. That paper is not, I gave my daughter Leah today, I tore out a paper. They're kind of done with school, but I'm just giving them extra work, you know, mostly so I can do other things, you know. And so I tore out a paper for today, and I didn't look at it close. I just tore it out of the book, and I gave it to her, but it was out of Andrew's book. And I gave it to her, and she sat down a little bit later, and she said, Dad, what... I said, oh, okay, don't worry about that one. That one's not for you, amen. She was never going to figure out that thing, you know. I was going to spend all day trying to teach her, you know. And it wasn't for her. Did you know that? But it was still truth. But it wasn't for her. I've seen people get mad because they were trying to swallow a truth that wasn't for them yet. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. Now, if it's not truth, then talk to the pastor and say, preacher, we need to talk about this. I need to see this in the Bible because I need to know it's truth. But sometimes you just say, well, I just don't quite get that truth. That's okay. Come back next week. You'll learn some more. Amen. And come back the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. And you start learning. And all of a sudden you go, wow, it makes sense. And study some on your own. Amen. Take your Bible out as Acts chapter 7. 17:11 says, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It's kind of like doing homework. Amen. The student that comes to school and only sits in class and never does the homework usually doesn't succeed. The Christian that comes to church and never goes home and does his homework and reads and studies the Bible doesn't usually succeed. They say, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. They say, I wish I had a better teacher. The problem is not the teacher. The Spirit of God is the teacher. Amen. Did you know tonight I'm not the teacher? I'm just a mouthpiece. The Spirit of God is trying to teach you. And the most amazing thing is the Spirit of God can teach a man that is a former pastor that has years and years from the Word of God, and he can teach a young girl. Amen? Now, do you think he's going to teach them the same thing in the front row? Well, Pastor Stanley said, yeah, I'm ready for some of that teaching again. Amen? No, the Spirit of God is able to take it and apply it to everybody in the room. But if you're only listening to me tonight, you're going to get anything. But if you're saying, God, I need you to teach me what I need to learn tonight. God, what do I need? Sometimes the problem is we're like these people. We don't really believe in the truth. The attack on the truth started way back in the beginning, did it not? Go back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 3. This is where it all started. This is where truth was attacked. And as God made the world and put man in the garden and gave man that beautiful woman to be his wife, and God placed them there and gave them one rule, one command, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, do not eat from it. God said, the day that you eat from it, ye shall surely die. You could read that back in Genesis 2 and in verse number 17. But in chapter 3, the Bible says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Isn't that amazing? Satan came to that woman and he said, did God really say that? What has God said? What did God mean? He began to question the word of God. Oh, I say tonight, be very careful. You might question the words of men, but you can never question the words of God. He said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the servant, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it. And I find, comparing to chapter 2, that Eve even added and said, neither shall you touch it. And I don't see that God said that back in chapter 2. God said, don't eat it. Now, I think there's some good advice that you shouldn't touch it, you know, obviously, because touching leads to eating, okay? But I don't find that God said, don't touch it, all right? Sometimes it's funny how God gets blamed for things that he never said. It's the most amazing thing. How people say, well, God said, and I'm like, really? I'm still looking. Now, some man may have said it, but did God really say it? That's a good thing, isn't it? But be careful when you try to put words in God's mouth. But in verse 4 was the ultimate attack, because the woman said that they would die. And in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, the most amazing thing is that in a technical sense, there was some correctness in what he said. He didn't say you won't die. He said, ye shall not surely die. And you know what? We talked the other night. They ate from the tree. And did they die right then? They didn't die physically. But death came into the world and they became spiritually dead. Satan's a master at just twisting the scriptures just a little bit to deny the truth of God's word. Now get me tonight. Listen to this. If you take the truth and you change it you change it so little that it's hardly noticeable, is it still the truth? No. If you tamper with the truth at all, it is no longer the truth. If you take a lie, and I mean you heap truth after truth after truth after truth upon that lie, does it become the truth? No. You see, the truth is pure. It must be to be true. Could you imagine you had one of these? I got one of these fancy new $100 Canadian dollars the other day. Somebody gave me one. That was really nice of them, amen. And I haven't seen it before. I'm looking at that thing and I'm thinking, oh, let's see right through it, you know, and I'm just having a good time with it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, is it real? You know? I just can't imagine going to the bank and saying, well, it's only just a little bit counterfeit. Could I exchange it for one that has no counterfeit in it at all? They're going to trade me? They'd take me to jail. I mean, if the money's real, it has to be what? 100% what? Real. And if it's not 100% real, how much value does it have? Come on. Take it to your bank and see what you get. Nothing. A lot of people today are satisfied. They say all the time, well, I know it's not exactly right, but hold on. The truth. That's why you need to know that you hold in your hands the truth of the Word of God. And Satan has been out to attack the Word of God. And I preach with lots of different people. And we know there are different versions of the Bible in the world today. And I'm just a simple person. And I just say, listen, let's just lay them side by side. And if they don't say the same thing, then one of them has to be wrong. That's that simple, right? I mean, it's just that simple. which one's the truth? You better figure it out. You better sort. I believe that this is the truth, the Word of God, the King James Bible. Now, everybody didn't agree with that. And if you're choking on that tonight, that's okay. Don't choke. Amen. Take it home and study it and think about it. I sat in the house with a guy for a long, long time ago. And he was an old Nazarene preacher. And I knocked on the door in his town. And he invited myself and the fellow that I was in. He said, come on in, preachers. He said, I heard you was in town starting a church. And he said, I like you, Baptist. I said, well, that's good, you know. And he said, there's just two things I don't like about you, Baptist. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. He said, you're stuck on that King James Bible. And he said, you believe once saved, always saved. I said, well, I'm glad that's the only two things you don't like about us. Amen. And he was a nice old fellow. So we sat down. I said, well, let's just look at a couple of things. And I said, let's look at one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I forget which Bible version he had because he had it on an electronic thing back then. It's the most amazing thing. The guy was 70 years old and he was using an electronic Bible. And this was 20 years ago, you know. I was like, wow, where would he be today, you know? But he had a little Franklin Bible thing. They were just coming out, you know, and he had that thing. And I said, read that verse there, John 3:16. And so he didn't even look at it. He just said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And I said, no, hold on, sir. I said, read it. You're quoting it. Because I knew which version he memorized it out of. So he started looking at his little electronic thing and he said, well, wait a second, that's not the way it's supposed to be. He threw that thing down, he grabbed another Bible he had and looked up there and he said, oh, that one's not right either. He went to three Bibles and said, those are wrong. I said, you want to talk about that eternal security too? He said, not right now, you know. He just never really even looked at it. But I believe he was a spirit-led man. And all of a sudden he understood that, wait a second, they don't agree, it's wrong. Isn't that how it is? If you change the truth, it's no longer the truth. I was sitting in South Africa with a pastor and he had some problems and issues and he was asking me the same thing. Why do you use that version? Why do you say it so much? And I said, listen, let's just look. And we started looking up some different verses. And he had a what was called a New Living Translation. And he said, whoa, that verse isn't even in this one. I said, well, I mean, what do you want? A Bible that's complete or a Bible that's missing? I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to say, listen, this is serious business. We want the truth. Amen. And you say, well, I don't think it's that important. I'll promise you, you're going to struggle with lots of other things in your spiritual life. Because you don't think truth matters. And Satan has been attacking the truth since the very beginning. Look in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. Look what takes place here in the book of Romans in chapter number 1. Because this is in today, in our world today. In Romans chapter number 1, we'd start reading in verse number 10. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul is talking, we're jumping into the middle of it. I'm sorry, let me get to the verse that I want. Yeah, verse number 10. Paul says, making requests if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, he said, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now look at closely these verses. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does this mean? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm saying tonight that if you want to know the truth, you're going to find the truth. But if you're stubborn, you won't. Keep reading. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We say, wow, there's a lot of that in the world today, idolatry. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We see a lot of that today. But look at verse number 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, how do I know this is happening today? Read the next verse. For this cause. Because of what? Because of what? Because they changed the truth into a lie. The truth of God into a lie. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. Did you know what the product of is when you try to change the truth of God into a lie? When you take away the pure, holy word of God, you get all the wickedness of the world. And God describes it, doesn't He? The sodomy. The homosexuality. Why is it sweeping our world today? Study it out. It's because people didn't want the truth anymore. And no longer is right right, and no longer is wrong wrong, but rather every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and there is no longer truth. And listen, if you can change the Word of God, then there is no truth. You have to start with the foundation that there has to be the truth of the Word of God. Satan has been busy attacking it. He has succeeded in many ways. And therefore, you and I tonight need to come back to identifying the truth. That's the second thought I would give you this evening. Look at John chapter number 1 very quickly. Notice what the Word of God says. How do we identify the truth? John chapter number 1, look what the Bible says in verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him, and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Did you know one of the greatest indicators of truth is Jesus Christ? Because prophecy. Because the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled every prophecy that was written about Him in His birth and His life on this earth. I mean, you think about it, and I'm not going to go into it tonight, but you study it out, and you study what Isaiah and Daniel and Psalms and David and what everything they said about how when Christ would be born, the place of His birth, the timing of His birth, the virgin birth, and all of those things up to the persecution that would come, and Herod, and all of those things that were prophesied, and every single one of them happened. Isn't that amazing? Well, how did that happen? Because the Word of God is truth. And then you go through the Bible and you look at all the other things in the Bible that have never been wrong. I've talked to people many, many times. I was standing with some professors from a secular university in the state of California, and they were on the streets down at a fair that I was handing out tracts at, and they were mocking and laughing, and I heard them snickering and saying, oh, that Bible's rubbish and this and that. So I finally just walked over to them and didn't have a big Bible in my hand, but had a small one. And I said, what's your problem with the Bible? You're laughing at all these people. And they said, oh, it's just full of mistakes. And so I just said, well, here, show me one. They didn't want to touch it. I said, come on, I've got time, just right now, show me one. Well, we don't know where they are. I said, well, you're standing here saying it's full. Show me one. I said, I can show you many truths in the Bible that have never been wrong. I asked that professor, I said, what shape is the earth? He said, it's a circle. I said, has man always believed that? He said, no, of course not. I said, what shape did man used to believe the earth was? He said, well, man thought it was flat, they really didn't know. Many ancient writings and pictures paint a flat earth. I said, but Isaiah said the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth. Isn't that amazing? How many stars are there? He said, nobody knows. I said, oh, but wait a second. I know your history books, your science books. They taught how many stars they were. Ptolemy counted them. He drew the charts, you know. So there was 1,060-some stars, you know. He could see with his eyes. Isn't it amazing that he was wrong? But the Bible was right. Because the Bible said that Abraham would have children. His children would be like the sands of the sea, like the stars, without numbers. It's amazing the truths that are in the Word of God. I think about a man who wrote a book called The Fountains of the Deep, and he was sick and he was not well, and he was lying in his bed, a Christian man, and he was an oceanographer, and he read in Psalms about the paths of the deep, and he told his son, they've got to be there. And he began to explore the ocean, and he's the one that understood the currents in the ocean and some of the same currents that are still flowing today. The paths of the deep. It was written in the Word of God. I'm just saying tonight that the Bible is an inexhaustible book of truth. That's why you don't tamper with the truth. Because you might get it wrong. How do I identify the truth? It's simple, because it's found in the Word of God. It's found in the Scriptures. Look what it says in John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. Verse number 17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And somebody said, "Well, yeah, how can you believe it? I mean, it's talking about itself." Isn't it amazing how we'll trust other books that talk about themselves? Laws of thermodynamics and science books and history books, and they talk about themselves, and we just accept it readily when those books are often found to be tainted by men. When here's a book that's never been tainted, if you have the true, pure Word of God. I'm saying tonight you can trust the truth of the Word of God. Let me read you just a couple of other verses here. Look, if you would, back in Psalm chapter number 119. Psalm 119, verse number 160. Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. Psalm 119, verse 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning." I like that. So much for evolution. "Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Look in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 6. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now hear me tonight. If the Spirit is truth, and the Word of God is truth, what must they always do? They must agree, right? Because truth must always what? Agree. Because if they differ, then one of them can't be what? Truth. The Spirit of God always speaks the truth. How can I test the Spirit of God? By the Word of God. But if I'm not certain that the Word of God that I have is truth, how am I going to test the Spirit of God? Do you see what happens if you take away truth? Then there is no truth. Then you have nothing to lean on. You have nothing to stand on. There is no longer a standard of right and wrong. It's very simple tonight. How do you identify the truth? By testing it. Remember last night I told you about the illustration of the guy that goes to the hospital and the doctor gives him some medicine and says, "Take this and you'll be better." And as he's walking out, another doctor gives him something and says, "Take this, it's worked." That guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And the third guy comes along and he says, "Here's something, try this one." Those guys don't know, you know. And you end up with four or five selections and you've got to decide which one is right, right? How are you going to do it? "Well, let's see, I'll take this one for 10 days and see if I live." I don't think so. That's a bad way to do it. But what are you going to do? You're going to study. You can ask questions. You can go back to those doctors and say, could I have a list of your former clients? I'd like to interview them and see if what you've told them has worked." And he says, "Well, all my clients are dead." "Thanks, doctor. Have a nice day." Go to the next guy and say, "You know, you gave me this medicine and I'd like to talk to your clients and see." And he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry that my clients, most of them are on oxygen and they're in hospitals and they really can't talk to people." "Okay, gotcha." Go to the next client, next doctor. "Listen, doctor, you said this medicine. I'd really like to talk to your clients. I'd like to see your degrees. I'd like to ask you something." He says, "No problem, come on in. What would you like to ask?" You ask him questions, he give you answers. You say, could I see some of your clients?" He says, "Yeah, sure, let me introduce you. Here's my family. They've all done what I've said. Here's all these people have done what I said, and these people have done what I've said, and these people, and they're all living, and they're doing this, and they're healthy, and they're, you know, working and going," and problem solved, didn't it? I know which doctor has what? The truth. Oh, come on, we do this in all areas of our life, don't we? Come on, you get a car that's broke down and you get three mechanics, they'll give you three opinions. Amen, Brother Chris? Okay, so you want to know which one? Go see whose car's running, amen? Go find out, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is you've got to search for the truth. The Word of God is not afraid to have you test it tonight. Seek and find, look and understand. Identify the truth. Last thought. And this is important tonight. Look at Psalm chapter 51. Because sometimes people get as far as we've gotten tonight and they say, amen, preacher, that's right. The Word of God is truth. I know it. I believe it. I've settled it. I'm happy. But let's read just a couple of verses. Psalm chapter 51, verse number 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I like that verse, how that God wants truth deep inside. Look at Psalm 145. Truth is not a surface thing. Truth is not just something you say you believe. Remember those people that said, yes, we believe? And Jesus said, okay, let's test it. And they took up stones to kill him because it wasn't in their heart. Psalm 145, the Bible says in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him. And there's that word, in truth. You see, the truth doesn't do us any good if we don't apply it down deep. If we don't use the truth, if we don't actually take it and say, Lord, I accept what you said. I'm going to follow it every single step. It's the application of the truth. And so many times people will even tell you, they say, I know it, but they're not doing it. Well, what good is it if you know it and you don't do it? Really, I mean, think about it tonight. Look in John chapter 4. I'm afraid today there are people that know the truth, but they're not doing the truth. In John chapter 4 is the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, and as he conversed with her and talked with her, and she had many thoughts that Jesus dealt with about her religious experience and beliefs. And finally in verse 19, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and notice this, now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, we get into the spirit side of it, amen? But we have to deal with the truth side. In other words, we have to deal with what we really are. We have to deal with who we really, how we really live, how we really act. Not just knowing the truth, but doing it. Look in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. John chapter 8, look at verse number 31. We read this earlier, but I want us to see it again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Last verse, 1 John chapter 1. If we took the time tonight, we could go to the Old Testament and we would find several places where God said to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. What does it mean to serve God in truth? 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's this simple tonight. What is the truth tonight that God says you need to do? It's that simple. That's how we serve God. You see, the truth for someone tonight might be they need to be saved. In my own life, it was that way. From the time I was a young child and growing up in church, many times I came to revivals and preaching times, and I knew down inside I needed to get saved. And I'd even come sometimes and pray and say, God, if I'm not saved, save me. But I never dealt with the truth. I never was willing to humble myself and say, I'm lost. But when I was 18 years old, I said, listen, it's no more playing games. I had to deal with the truth. I was lost. I needed to be saved. And that night when I dealt with the truth, God saved me. Amen. You might be here tonight, and that's the truth that you need to take a step. You need to take the truth of salvation and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and not be ashamed of it. You might be saved and you need to take the truth of baptism. Baptism is a Bible truth. The Bible says they that gladly received His word were baptized. And you know what? I've met many people that were saved, but they struggled with that truth of baptism for all different types of reasons. And they're still struggling with that truth. And until they step into that truth of baptism, they're going to walk in darkness. They just can't see their way clear anywhere else in their life because they're resisting a truth. But as soon as they say, okay, I'm going to get baptized. 2 years ago, I was going to India. I was preaching at a church down in the States. I'm preaching revival meeting like this. We're getting ready to leave. This is like on Sunday night. Yeah, Sunday night. We're leaving Monday morning to go to India. The pastor, myself, a couple of ladies, a couple of young men from his church. We're getting a plane. Well, the lady's going to India. At the end of the service, we're done preaching. We have the invitation. She says, Pastor, could I say something? She says, I need to get baptized. This is when the ladies are going with us to India. She says, God's been dealing with this. She says, I got saved, but I was baptized before I was saved, but I never got baptized after I got saved. And she says, I've known this and I've been struggling. I need to get baptized. They don't have a baptistry in their church. He says, when? She says, tonight. I can't go to India without, doing what God says first. So, man, we load the whole church up, went down the river and baptized her at 10 o'clock at night. They thought we were crazy, amen? But she was so happy on the trip. You know why? Because she followed the truth and got out of the darkness. Maybe you're saved and you're baptized, but you're not connected to the local church because the Bible says that the church is important and we are to identify with it. And you're just... You're not settled in the church, and until you settle that, you're going to be in darkness. And I can go on and on tonight, because maybe it's this one. This is a big one in our world today. It's called the Word of God, reading it in your home. You know how many families that are living in darkness because they simply don't take time to teach the Word of God in their home? Well, I can go to many verses tonight that show that the father needs to be teaching the Word of God in his home. And you're in darkness and you're confused in your family and you're walking in darkness because you're not doing the truth and you know you need to do it. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go home tonight and before you put your family in bed, sit down and gather them all around a couch and say, listen, I haven't been a good father. I haven't been a good mother. We haven't had a time in the Word of God. I haven't made sure that my family was spiritual. Then we're going to do it now because we're not going to walk in darkness. We're going to do the truth, you see. Do you see what I'm saying tonight? It might be your personal devotions. You don't have a time in the Word of God. You don't have a prayer life. You don't walk with God privately. And you're going to walk in darkness till you do the truth. Now, please, tonight, I can go on and on and on and on and on. I'm trying to make illustrations so that you can recognize the Spirit of God speaking to you. Can I ask you a question tonight? Is the Spirit of God giving you a truth? Is He giving you one? Well, I came to church and He didn't give me nothing. Are you listening to Him? Because the Bible says the Spirit of God shall lead you into truth. And what a tragedy to come and sit and hear a preacher for 45 minutes or an hour and get nothing. You should have stayed home and watched television, amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? We need the Spirit of God to get... That's revival. Revival is when all of a sudden I'm listening to the Spirit of God and the preacher's preaching here and there, but the Spirit of God is coming to my heart and saying, here's the truth that you need tonight. But listen to me, many people, they hear the Spirit of God. And they say, yeah, that's what I need to do. But they don't do it. And the Bible says, if you do that, you walk in darkness because you don't do the truth. I've learned in my life, whenever it seems like my life is cloudy and dark and I can't figure out what to do, I need to stop doing what I'm doing and listen to the Spirit of God.
I need to get the Word of God, and I call my pastor and I talk to him and I say, Pastor, I need to hear from what God is saying, because there's something that I'm doing or not doing that needs to change. Sometimes I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. The Spirit of God says, that's what you need to stop, preacher. Okay. All I'm saying tonight is, what's truth do you need to do? Would you do it tonight?